This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast. It's a first because tonight is Julian Monaghan, Gavin Lawson and me. Just the three of us. No Gareth Dixon. Finally, we got rid of him.
Free of him
at last.
Drop the deadwood finally.
Yeah, we've trimmed the QPR fact because Gareth Dixon has gone. I'm sure Barbara Dixon is still listening. We're always pleased you're listening, Barbara. Hello, Babs. You can tweet in as many times you want. It's going to be a really good show tonight because no Gareth. Apparently he had a better offer. I'm not quite sure if that is possible because this is QPR for the next 60 minutes. We're going to be looking at two very different games, vastly different. Obviously Birmingham 2-0, brilliant back-to-back wins, 2-0, 2-0 against Preston, against Birmingham, two clean sheets, hadn't had one for 25 games, then you get two back-to-back, and then what happened against Barnsley, 5-3, the bottom side in the Championship. Then Richard Langley will be joining us and we'll be looking towards the game with Charlton on the weekend, the All-London clash. Ollie Cook from the SE7 podcast will be joining us. But you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. Well, let's start with a positive because I know Gavin doesn't really want to talk about Barnsley. We can talk about it for a second. We can gloss over it. We can just look at the important stat lines from the game. But let's talk Birmingham because that was a brilliant victory. That was away at St Andrews. There was a super goal involved in it. And it seemed that QPR, almost Julian, turned a mini corner. You know, it wasn't a great run. Then 2-2, you know, clean sheets. Mark Warburton had found something, hadn't he?
Yeah, you know, he found a formation that seemed to suit us. It's, you know, if you think about one goal conceded in three games, if you go back as far as Derby, the flat back four seemed to be working. We seemed to be much more solid, secure. Goalkeeper less concerned about having to play out the back. And, you know, two wins in a row, two clean sheets. It was pretty unheard of. I was quite excited. I thought maybe we could play this
Julian,
the rest of the
excited.
Season.
You know,
no, that's weird, isn't it?
It's very. It's all a strange show tonight.
It was strange at Birmingham because I mean we bought in Pugh a few games ago, and then since then we kept two clean sheets. I'm not saying he was the reason, but against Derby he brings a cool head to the environment, and we just looked a lot more in control, a lot more relaxed, Birmingham was, I think, like the perfect away performance. I think we weren't expecting particularly to go there and get a lot with recent results. But I mean, I think at 1-0, we would have thought that was a great away performance, keeping a clean sheet and nicking a goal. And then Bright goes and pulls off that goal, which was amazing. So literally, it was, I think, for me, the perfect away performance.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a professional performance, perfect away performance. You can't really ask for much more, Julian. Two goals, 3 points.
And we've got a pretty decent record against Birmingham in recent times. I think when we look back at the previous week, we had Preston, we'd lost six in a row, so quite surprised to beat them. But actually, it's very rare for me to say that there's another team that we're playing where we are their bogey team. But I think if I'm looking at it here, we've lost once in the last seven games against Birmingham. So actually, you know, I remember that 4-1 win away a couple of years ago then, you know, when we got that amazing free kick. So actually, Birmingham's been quite a happy hunting ground for us and a hunting team.
It has, but a completely new squad, and so you know, it's interesting to see how much that actually, you know, affects things. You know, his historical records. I thought it's just very strange how we managed to. We didn't look like we were particularly going to concede in the two games that we kept clean sheets, and then at Derby, you know, again we only let in one, and we're used to hemorrhaging goals left, right, and centre, and it just looked completely different. And the weirdest thing is, I mean, we'll get onto this later, but about changing formation back from, you know, what was going so well. And, you know, all of a sudden there looked like confidence in the defence. Everything was just coming off and it didn't look like we were particularly going to concede.
And the formation is also really suiting Bright. It was surprised me that he hadn't been playing Bright, but playing the sort of more narrower front midfield meant that Bright, as an out-and-out winger, wasn't getting a game, even though he got hauled off after he'd scored a goal and didn't even get on the bench or certainly didn't get played get pulled on as a substitute. Then he plays in those games, starts looking really good, scores that amazing goal. We kept commenting about him being pretty strong in the Preston game, but lacked the final ball, kept shooting at the keeper or wide. This time, ran from well inside his own half, took on the man, very strong, held him off, and then fired it high into the net, which is great. We needed to see a lot more.
It was. We soaked up the pressure. You know, we only had two shots on target that entire game, and we scored twice. You know, it's not like the gung ho. Yeah, it was efficient, and it was professional, and it's not used to really saying that. Normally, we go gung ho and go to try and outscore the opposition, but it didn't. You know, as I said, it didn't look like we were going to concede. And that bright goal was, you know, it had it was reminiscent of Gareth Bale.
It was an unbelievable goal.
Gareth Bale, you really what, against Inter Milan?
Not Gav Bale, Gareth Bale. No, yeah. It was.
He ran
from the same sort of, you know, area. He completely carved open the defence.
The game meant it was more important.
Actually.
So he's going to be signed by Real Madrid next month.
That's the January transfer rumour we're starting.
They'll try. I think the guy that was trying to, I can't remember his name, the guy was trying to catch up with him. He was already on a yellow, and if he hadn't been on a yellow, he would have had to side them down because you know, he had the better of him. But you know, he was showing his strength. It was a great goal, and I think Bright, you know, we decided Bright is definitely good for his place for the last three games, and he was unlucky to have been dropped in the first place.
He finds himself obviously back in the side, and obviously that goal. I know that you two never, and Gareth obviously, never get too excited, never let yourselves get carried away, but I'm not going to say, did you start dreaming again of climbing that table and what can be this season after those two successive 2-0 wins, but did you think we have turned a corner defensively and we have found something we can work off, maybe a foundation to build on, Julian?
Yeah, I thought so after the Preston game. I thought, you know, maybe it's not as exciting, even though in that game I thought Eze had one of his best games of the season. I thought it was outstanding against Preston. But, you know, there wasn't as much attacking flair. We just looked a bit more confident, a bit more assured. It was a steadier game. I was disappointed with Preston, given where they were, and you were expecting a bit more. Maybe in a way they're a bit shocked, because I thought they pressed high because they were expecting, oh, this is the QPO play at the back. Eventually they're going to give it away. And it didn't happen because we played it over the top of them a bit more. So I just felt, actually, you know, we can go on from this. And it means, you know, Eze can still play well in that game, in that formation. And we got Bright on the wing, and our strikers are still scoring goals. I thought, this is great. We've got the foundation to go on. Yes, maybe. I mean, I'd love to understand why we reverted. You could argue we're playing the bottom team, therefore potentially the team that was, I think it was a minus 18 goal difference at the time. Perhaps we think, well, we can go back to his preferred formation. Hopefully he's learned a lesson. And for me, what we do against Charlton is going to be very, very interesting.
Well, yeah. we're going to talk about the Charlton game a little bit later on in the show, but you did come back down to earth with a fight against Barnsley. Only two wins this season. They got the third on the weekend. I was watching it. The goals were flying in. It wasn't quite expected. How did it, or where did it all go wrong, Gav?
Against Barnsley?
Yeah. We have to talk about it, unfortunately.
No, we do. I've got 30 minutes on Barnsley. Wanted to touch on what we, again, just what we did at Birmingham is we soaked up the pressure, and the first half was boring and dull. But we don't
nothing wrong with that.
We don't have very many boring and dull, you know, games where we soak up pressure and then nick a goal. And we nicked it just before half time, and the second half was all us, you know. And it's that bit of the fact that we, you know, we gained belief because we hadn't actually let in a goal, which is rare for us. And you know, but I don't think Warburton's very. I love him, and I'd rather us lose 5-3 every week than lose 2 or 3-0. Because at least we've got something going forward, and we need to actually. No, I would. It was an entertaining game.
I'd rather we won the odd game than lose every week.
But what I'm saying is, he doesn't know how to play dirty and grind out points like Holloway or
win ugly games.
Warnock would, or win, or even get a draw. You know. But you know, it's either all or it seems to be all or nothing, and so yeah, the Barnsley game after that was a completely different thing. I actually enjoyed parts of it, but do we want to do the whole Barnsley thing now?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah?
Which of the five goals did you enjoy the most?
Well, R3 probably. first of all, is why did he change formation when the three games before that would let him one goal out of three and would look really good, and then he brought back the same back five that let in four against Forest, and it made no sense. Okay, granted we were down to ten men for some of that, but you know, it was working really well, and he seems to be bringing back Wallace because he feels like he needs to put Wallace in the team, as opposed to the fact that it's a natural fit. You know, there's no point in changing something that's working.
I don't know on that one. You may be right, but you know, Wallace was fit for a long time before he eventually brought him into the team because Manning was keeping him out. Then he got in, fair enough, and then he got sent off, and he's tried to bring him back. I think it's less about Wallace. You may be right, but I think it's less about Wallace. I think he just wants to play that formation. That's his preferred formation. He likes to play out from the back and attacking. I'd love to hear from him, because it felt to me like he thought, oh, we've done quite well in three games, but it's not my preferred formation. We're playing the bottom team. I want to revert to it. And he got caught out. And I think it backfired on him terribly. Add to the fact that Barnsley have got a new manager. They started playing all these young players, the average age of 22. They were quite tenacious.
They were all over
and,
them.
And actually, you know, it was a very open game. It could have been 5-3 the other way. Which is actually a lot of our games have been like that.
Typical
this
QPR.
Season.
Yeah,
typical QPR, yeah.
Which seems odd considering we've been so assured in those three prior games.
But also, the pitch was a nightmare, and that's no excuse because it's the same for both clubs. But, you know, I think Warburton knows how to play sexy, nice football. But he doesn't know, as I said, he doesn't know how to grind things out, you know. So they were literally, they were swamping everyone. When anyone got the ball, there were three players on them and they desperately, desperately wanted it. And it's definitely a new manager situation because, you know, they'd got 4 points out of the two games before. And now they've got 7 out of 3 games. So he's obviously gotten a rise out of them. But we really had no answer to Chaplin. Our defence looked like Buster Keaton. I had to drop that in there, thanks. Thanks, mate. But no, we literally... it looked like... it was suicidal, our defence. It was awful. And they just switched off. I was thinking he wanted to bring Wallace in because Wallace is definitely a leader. And our defense,
you're not happy about this Wallace bringing. This is a few times you brought it up.
He's been unlucky. I don't want to scapegoat him, but yeah, I mean, he was responsible for the first goal against Forest. He got sent off, which was a bit stupid. Yeah, I think he's definitely got potential.
Leicester
came out in the press last week. He was mentioned about the fact that he was really gutted that he'd had his captaincy taken away. He'd been dropped and he was put on the list, and now he's made his way back in the side and he's actually playing well. But you can tell by his body language. You can tell by the way he's playing. He's playing because he's a professional and he wants to do a decent job, but he's not leading like he was last season. And they've brought Wallace in, I think, because they want to shore up that defence. But I think it was the wrong time to bring him back in because the defence was all of a sudden with that formation was looking assured and we were winning. So it didn't make a lot of sense. But I think Wallace has definitely got a lot of potential for going forward, but not in that formation.
Yeah, it seemed very strange that he did change it. Well, he was annoyed afterwards. He said, we can't defend like that. We've been solid for 3 games and then we come and let ourselves down today. It's as simple as that. Well, he was the one that made the changes. He said there were a lot of heated words in the dressing room after Julian.
I wasn't there, so I don't know what he said, but I imagine. I mean, he'll probably say it's not the formation. They shouldn't defend as sloppily as that. I'm sure that's right. You know, Cameron had a really good game, I thought, against Preston. I thought just in front of the four looked good. And then he was giving away, you know, gave away the penalty. I kind of thought it was on the line. I need to check the rule book. Is on the line a penalty or not? But regardless, he gave away a couple of silly things during that game. But you know, he was playing a slightly different role this time. I think I like the flat back four with him just in front. It seemed to work for us. Wallace, who knows? I don't know. This season, has he played in a flat back four? I don't think he has.
No, I don't think he has.
So you know,
he's being forced into the
team.
You've
got to push. I still think if Manning moves out of that role, he could move into a more, you know, that sort of Scowan role that Scowan isn't unfortunately doing so well this season. He could play that for me, and Wallace could go to the left back position. I don't want to scapegoat Wallace at all. I haven't seen enough of him, and I haven't seen him probably in his preferred position.
Yeah, and again, I mean, Cameron had a strange game because he did a lot of good stuff, and he was also, he gave the penalty away, which I think they just clashed heads. I think it was a bit tenuous. But one of the goals was definitely his fault. The second goal, he just completely missed a header at the near post. It's switching off, lack of concentration again. But I thought he did all right. I mean, man of the match was definitely Bright.
Were there any positives from the game?
Yeah, Bright, for sure. And also when they brought on Chair, I mean, as a lot of the, you know, the ball players couldn't do what they wanted because the pitch was so sticky. It was just, you know, it was difficult. So we needed a plan B, and we didn't really have a plan B. I thought Hugo did all right. I thought most of the side did all right. And actually, we could have easily scored 3 in the second half that we didn't score. And the results could have been, you know, we could have won it 6-5. But you can't switch off and defend like that. And their fourth goal, the fifth goal, so many I've lost count. So the fourth goal, which was a free kick, it was a dodgy free kick. And they're all standing around looking at each other. And they took the free kick and the whole defence switched off. And at that point, it was like, OK, that's it. We don't deserve anything from that game. Up until then, we were kind of in it. Yeah. But also, you can't go away at the bottom team and let in 5.
Julian, do you disagree on that? Or
no, I think the highlights, let's ignore the defence because it was a shambles. But if you take the positives, Bright, 4 games in a row has looked very good. I think Chair came on and made a difference. He hit the post or hit the bar and then scored a decent goal where he, you know, cool head where he stopped, waited, poked it home. So, you know, there are positives. And we are scoring goals.
And Amos was a massive positive. Yeah, Amos scored twice and he was all over the place. He looked, you know, he looked fit. He's still got niggling injuries from last season, but when he's come in and he's actually looked up for it, he looks like a very good player. We're not going to sign him, but, you know, he could go on and do some good, you know, play well for the rest of the season.
Well, there were a few positive points then, see, Gavin. It wasn't that bad. But Richard Langley joins us next for his take on the game and the Arsenal season so far.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast, Gav Lawson and Julian Monaghan. We were looking back at two games since we last spoke. So much for us to get into, the good, the bad and the ugly, because it was two successive 2-0 wins. Then it was Barnsley on the weekend and things didn't go quite to plan. Not the plan that we had in the last three games anyway, as Julian and Gav tell us. But now I'm delighted to say Richard Langley joins us, ex-QPR player. Richard, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Always a pleasure to have you on the QPR Fan Show. What have you made of not just this season but those last few games and the vastly difference seeing Preston and Birmingham and then Barnsley on the weekend?
Yeah, it's, I think it's a reflection of exactly where we are at the minute. I don't think we've got that consistency that we're after, but it's not going to happen in one season, I don't believe. I think it's going to be a year or two before we can gather that consistency that the manager, I'm sure, will be looking for. But he has come in and he's changed things up. I've said, and I must sound like a broken record to so many people, that we should just have, or we should be with our expectations, more realistic. I think we finished mid-table, there or thereabouts. I think we need to consider that a good season. We've got a couple of good youngsters coming to the team with Ibure and Ilias Chair. Ryan Manning's come in, done very well. Overall, a very talented team. But yeah, you look at the two games. I was at the home game to Preston, and Preston have been in the top six all season. And I thought we absolutely dominated the game. They didn't really want to play. They played very narrow. They tried to play the long ball off the up front, and he came up. They didn't. I think they were we look very solid and very comfortable. But I think as fans, we just need to be realistic and, you know, and be happy where we are.
Hey, Langers, it's Gav here. Just had a quick question. Hey, man. Just on what you're talking about, how away at Preston... Oh, sorry, the Preston game, we were looking really tight. I think Derby before we played really well and then Birmingham again. And why do you think after those three performances, letting in one goal out of three games and keeping two clean sheets, would Warbs then go and change that formation and particularly change the defence for the sake of it, when considering we're not scapegoating Wallace at all, but you know potentially, but then you know the last time he was in and we moved formation, we lost 4-0 to Forest. Okay, Grant, he got sent off, but then after that we were looking so much more solid in defence. Why do you think he would have gone and changed it for the sake of it?
Well, we don't know what he's seen in training. He's obviously seen something that he likes in training. That can happen quite often. You know, you see players pick a bit of form on the training ground, and maybe that synergy doesn't really translate onto the pitch on a Saturday. I saw the goals at Barnsley. There's a load of individual errors that we weren't seeing. Especially the pressing game, it looked a lot more tight. But then I saw the goals, and it's like people letting their man go, people not getting tired, people switching off. I saw Bright switching off for a free kick the other day, plug got played inside him. And it's not individual errors, but I think that is with... It's going to happen with the youth that we've got in the team, you know, the inexperience. And it's not just, you know, it's okay having one or two, but if you've got three or four young ones, you know, it's a lot different to having an experienced team with one stuck in there, where you've got the experienced ones really dragging them over the line, making sure they're switched on, making sure they're staying with the runners and being professional like throughout the whole 90 minutes. And maybe when you take away that experience all over, or especially in the backbone of the team, you can miss out there.
Sure. And I guess, you know, Leissner came out the other day and mentioned that he, you know, him and Mark weren't, Warburton wouldn't be going for beers particularly because of how he felt he'd been treated. And last season, Tony was definitely, he was the captain. He was definitely one of the leaders in the team. He's had that captaincy taken away. I think Wallace is probably a natural leader anyway. And they, I think the team is, the squad is missing a leader. It was missing a Clint Hill or a Sean Derry, and someone to really organise them. So, I mean, who do you think should take that captaincy? I think Grant Hall's done pretty well since he came in, but I think we're still lacking leadership.
We are, definitely. It's very hard. It's a really difficult question for me to answer because I don't see any natural leaders. Yes, you can see Leissner's maybe the one with a bit of experience and older head on his shoulders, but I think you need to lead by your performances as well. And with all due respect to him, I don't want to say anything too negative, but when I've seen him, he hasn't been up to scratch. It's very difficult, and even to put the armband on your biggest performer like Ibire, is he ready for that? Maybe not. Maybe it would raise him, you know, maybe it would lift his game a bit more, give him a bit more responsibility. But I don't know if they're going to go down that route.
And on the subject of Easy, if we were offered 20 million in January, would you take it?
Yeah, you have to. In a heartbeat, yeah.
12 million?
I don't know what else. Well, we got him for about 400 quid a week.
Mm.
You know, so what do you do? You know, I don't know what our expectations are, but if we can have that kind of money, it would definitely help the club as on the whole. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, I think unfortunately our record of selling our greatest players for a very low price has been, you know, renowned over the years. When you look at Sinclair going for, what was it, Martin Rowlands, Ian Dowie and Tim Breaker, which was a shocking waste of money.
And you, Langers, you should have got 20 million
as
well. And then
you went to Cardiff for two bob and nothing.
I've not recovered from that yet.
You look at, you know, even when Les went for 6 million to Newcastle, I felt that was like on par. Freeman going last season for 5 million was kind of okay. And Sinton going to Sheffield Wednesday, I've yet to see us sit there and go, wow, that was a good price. I wasn't expecting that. If we got 20 million for Eze, I would think that is a good price, probably slightly above where you'd expect.
You think that's realistic?
No, I think that's unrealistic. That's what I'm saying. If you got 20 million, that'd be great. It always appalls me that Brentford down the road, who is a well-run club, very well-run club, and we have to look at that, but they seem to sell their players above the price that they warrant.
And they buy them for a lot less as well.
When you look at where they go on, they're not particularly, you know, they're not, they shouldn't be priced at that, but they're doing a great job of selling.
I might have been getting excited when I said 20 million, but yeah.
Yeah. But that's what people are talking about. I've even seen people talking above that. But, you know, he's a 21-year-old guy who's had a season and a half looking really impressive. I think he can be a Premier League player. But, you know, remember, he's not very quick. He's not particularly good in the air. So is he an all-round player that can play in the Premiership? It's questionable, but he's a great, great player, great prospect.
Is, well, for me, you can compare him with other players that may be on so quick. You can compare him, I suppose. Now you look at Griezmann in the Champions last year, I don't think his stats were on par with as Darnell season.
Yeah, we've got 1.5 million for Darnell.
I think I think Richard, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, I feel like we're losing you. The signal's not great from us, Richard. Sorry, we thought we lost you there. Sorry, Julian.
I think you said
1.2 million for Darnell, but I think that's a, no, he's come through the academy. I think that's a good price. I don't know what people would expect to get from Darnell. You know, you look at he's coming. We've probably given him 400 quid a week for the first year. I know he's gone up on decent money now, but, you know, if you get 10, 12 million, I think you snap someone's hand off.
Okay, so if West Brom, if West Brom go up and Darnell's going to be playing right back in the Premier League, do you think he's going to cut it there?
Will Darnell cut it in the Premier League?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to go up, aren't they?
Yeah, almost so.
They will go up, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think Darnell will be able to maintain a position in the Premier League?
It's a tough one. I mean,
I think with Darnell was going to say then. I was getting so into that debate, obviously, about West Brom. I think we lost Richard there. Such a shame. Obviously, he was really getting back and forth with Julian and Gav there. We have lost Richard Langley, but a real pleasure that he came and joined us on the QPR Fan Show. Well, one guest is never enough on this show. We do get two because we do look towards the game on the weekend. This time, Ollie Cook from the SE7 podcast will be joining us to talk about the All-London clash with Charlton on the weekend.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a range of things podcast. We were just talking about the Barnsley game, speaking to Richard Langley. What a debate that was. One of Gav's favourite QPR players. Such a shame that that debate did get cut short. But this time we do have another guest, and it's still time for you to get involved and have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. This time it's a special guest, one of my own favourites this time. It is Ollie Cook from the SE7 podcast. Ollie, a pleasure to get you on this time on the QPR Fan Show to get your opposition view. I can't be too nice to you this time because I am on the QPR camp just for the next half an hour or so, but it is a big game on the weekend. Charlton needing the points. QPR obviously had that good run with those two back-to-back wins, then the slip up against Barnsley. What are you making of the contest?
Hi Charlie, you're right. It's a big game. Every game is a big game in the Championship, but it just feels like Charlton are close to turning a corner. We've obviously gone on a really, really bad run of spell, and we came very close to beating Hull last Friday, and the team's improving. We're looking better. It's just, you know, we need to see out these games, and that could be the case at the weekend. So fingers crossed. Well, from our point of view, probably not from yours, gents. Looking like we're getting better each week.
Have you got, because Steve Gallen, I meet him every week, he trains my kids football on Saturdays, and he was saying Charlton was... he's not a massive name, he won't mind me
he's
saying
big
that.
In the Charlton, they speak about him every
huge,
week.
He's huge, isn't
he?
Charlton talk highly of him, yeah.
Yeah, but he was saying you're being held together by a thread from injuries. He said there's a couple of players due back over the next couple of weeks that might make a big difference. Are they back? Who are they? And are they going to be playing on Saturday?
Yeah, well, one of the bigger names is Lyle Taylor, who's been our top goal scorer over the last 2 years. He has been injured for most of this year so far.
Great hair.
He's had a few, great hair, of course, and he's had a few appearances here and there, but he's working his way back to fitness. But it should be, if all goes well, we should be starting on the weekend. But another big name that we're missing is Johnny Williams. His fitness has been, it's been a problem throughout his career, quite famously. He's taken a lot of injuries, been quite hard on him. Because he's the sort of player that invites, he nicks full past people, he runs, tries to take people on, and he just invites tackles that are going to, maybe leave a stud in or something like that. So hopefully he'll be back at the weekend, but it's hard to tell because we've not seen any of him. He's not even been on the bench for the last few weeks. But if we do see him on the bench, that'll be a massive lift for us because, as you say, we've been running quite thin on players. The injuries have really taken their toll and we've just been seeing kids week in, week out. So it'll be really good to get those players back.
So, hey man, I just want to just touch on a player that's played for both of us from a few years ago who we signed off of you off the back of Jordan Cousins signed for us a couple of years ago off the back of Charlton beating us, I think, the last time we played.
2-0, yeah.
No, it was 1-0 and Cousins was their by far their best player and scored your winning goal. He then went on to Rangers to do not a lot, and we've sold him to Stoke since then. What were your thoughts about him? Because we really, it's just kind of baffling. It's another player that turned up and just did nothing, really.
Yeah, no, I noticed. I tried to keep up with ex-Charlton players, especially ex-Academy players like Cousins was. And, it was really baffling to see how he just made no impact at QPR at all. Nothing he did week in, week out really impressed anyone. Because at the Valley, he was a brilliant player, tireless, making runs, could tack, but very creative and running back and making tackles. And he was player of the season for us. A brilliant player. And when we got relegated and he moved on to QPR, we weren't surprised that he's going to a club at a division above us now. But it's been pretty strange since then. He just seems to not have the same... he just lost his mojo a little bit. And even at Stoke, he's barely getting a game.
Four games.
He seems like a totally different player.
Yeah, he's only had four starts at Charlton. Awful. Because they signed him at the bottom of the infamous diamond that they thought he would go on and be a key part for Stoke, but it didn't work out. Manager got fired.
Yeah, There's a couple of clubs not working. And so who else should we be keeping an eye out for, Ollie, with your lot next week?
I think the main person that Rangers need to be worried about would be the Chelsea loanee, Conor Gallagher. Now, that guy is dick and gravy. He's a really, really good player. But he's a quality player. And as much as it pains to say, complimenting Chelsea's youth academy, but they've produced a fine player there, and he's going to be a problem for you on the weekend.
Hmm. Was he a legitimate youth player that they signed, or was he part of their...
Let's not get into one about Chelsea.
that's a debate for another day.
It's Christmas, yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's a debate for another day.
Talk about nicer things, yeah.
Ollie, obviously QPR coming off the back of that 5-3, but you speak about that whole game, heartbreak once again for Charlton, still searching for that first win since October. It's been obviously a nightmare at the minute, Dylan Phillips getting his fair share of stick, but can they turn it around on the weekend? Because Lumley's been getting a little bit of stick also.
Yeah, well... As I say, we're looking like we're about to turn a corner. The reason that run's gone so badly is the paper-thin squad. We've had so many injuries. We've had the youth team running out pretty much every week. And you can see it in the results in that we're conceding late goals. Huddersfield before that, a few other games this season. It's because we haven't got the legs to last on such a thin squad. So when we're getting the players back, that will be a really big lift. And at the weekend, I can see us maybe this could be the game that turns it around for us. One more player coming back, one more person on the team sheet, and that could really make a difference to the squad.
Ollie, I think it's really a case of which QPR team turns up on Saturday, because we're so hit and miss. We could do 3-0, we could also lose 5-3.
No draws.
No, you're not going to get a draw.
If you see
about
five
that
at the back at kickoff,
you're in business. Yeah, if we're playing defensively, you're going to score a lot of goals. Head to head, we've won 23, you've won 24. And we've had 21 draws. So are we going to do a prediction on this one?
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's get yours first then, Ollie. What do you think on the contest on the weekend?
Well, you know me, Charlie. I'm ever the optimist.
You are.
I know we haven't won in, about 2 months now. So it's going to be 3-0
Charlton. 3-0 Charlton. Well, Ollie, I'm going to do it first because Julian can't believe you just said that. Ollie, stay with us. Let's hear their reply. I'll have to go to Julian because, Julian, you were stunned at that 3-0 from Ollie there.
Yeah, I was expecting 3-0 to us, by the way. I go 2-1. We score goals. We don't keep clean sheets. So 2-1.
2-1 for QPR. Gav?
Well, I'd probably say 3-1 Charlton, but I'm going to go for another clean sheet for us, 2-0.
2-0 Charlton, not getting on the score sheet.
Sorry about that, Ollie.
Third 2-0 win in four games. Ollie, like Gavin said, happy Christmas. And thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to get you on, Ollie. Ollie Cook there from the SE7 podcast. Brilliant there. Part of the Charlton.
S Club 7, was it?
Yeah, S Club 7, yeah. Always reaching higher. Reach for those stars, Gavin. As Charlton will be on the weekend, they are saying that QPR are going to get the result. But if you look at those stats, QPR have won 23, Charlton have won 24, 21 draws. And QPR do not draw this season. Well, next we'll be doing a little bit of QPR housekeeping, and maybe, just maybe, as I look to Julian, we might even be speaking to Gareth.
No.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a range of things podcast, Gav Lawson and Julian Monaghan. Well, I sort of told you a fib, because I said Gareth is with us. He is, but he wants us to call him back. He wants another minute or so.
Such
Gav,
a prima donna. He's such a prima donna.
You know what he's doing? He's getting these last minute QPR research, isn't
he? Yeah, he is.
Should we just leave him hanging on and not actually bring him in?
Unbelievable form from Gareth. Well, there is still time to have your say as well. You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. We were just talking about the Charlton game on the weekend. Ollie from the SE7 podcast joined us. He was saying 3-0. Julian was absolutely stunned at that prediction. I think he's still stunned. Gavin's not so sure. Julian can't quite believe it. Obviously, the record is QPR 123, Charlton 24, 21 draws. And we were talking about the Birmingham, the Preston game, obviously, the Birmingham game and the Barnsley game. And now Gareth has taken his time. He is ready. He's ready for us. Gareth Dixon, what a welcome to the show for you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for managing to give the QPR Fan Show a little bit of your time.
Oh, bonsoir. Yeah, I don't give it no time at all, do I? How are you, gents?
Good.
Well, where are you? In a bath towel? What are you doing tonight?
In a bath towel, Julian? You know I don't wear bath towels, personally. Come on.
Gareth, why was it that you needed a minute and we needed to call you back?
Because Mike was chatting to me about my mum. It's what happens all the time. You know, we try to talk QPR, but he always goes back to Babs.
Hey, Babs.
Yeah. Hey, Babs. How is Babs? She's tweeted a couple of times tonight. She said the show was a bit stronger that you weren't on.
Yeah, she's just a big Charlie fan, to be fair.
You are the Lee Wallace but you're also the face of Ranger Things. And you've got a great
And the rear of the year, apparently.
Rear of the year. Gareth, what have you made then of QPR? Because last time me and you got to speak, you know, it was off the back of that Preston win. Then you go and beat Birmingham. Brilliant away performance. Gavin called it professional. Then it was Barnsley and it all kind of unravelled. What did you make of that? And I hear you even made the Birmingham trip.
I did make the Birmingham trip. I don't recall playing Barnsley, to be fair. I don't know if that happened. But Birmingham was great to go up to the second city and turn them over quite easily. And it was professional, Gav's right. We did look good. We played in a way that it was solid. And we got the result on the night. And Birmingham just never looked like getting anywhere near us. And their fans, honestly, I know QPR fans get pelted sometimes, but they were leaving on 65 minutes. And yeah, it felt good. Right, say Samuel's goals. If there's a goal of the season that's better than that, then yeah, show me it now, because that was unbelievable. And he's looked
Gareth
like doing that crazy.
Gareth Bale-esque, wasn't it, that goal?
It was amazing.
Yes, it's Bale-esque.
Definitely Gareth.
Was it Bale-esque?
Yeah, Bale-esque.
Bale-esque.
Yeah.
Before you know it, he'd be playing golf in Madrid.
But Bright's threatened to do that, and I think that he's deservedly in the team, and that's what he gives you. He gives you that outlet, that pure pace, that rawness, and he gets criticised for no end product. But listen, that was a fantastic finish. So yeah, that was a good night up in Birmingham. The ball was fantastic, and the train ride around was pretty good. But Barnsley, I don't know what you boys have said about it, but it was.
You're not listening.
You're not tuned in.
Where are you?
I'm eating a tie, mate. You know, I've got other friends. You know, I'm eating a tie. Yeah, I've had a pad thai, so it's, you know, it's Christmas. It's Christmas, isn't it? You got to have a pad thai.
It's nice you come to see us before Christmas. Cheers for that, mate, Gav.
No worries.
What I would say, Gaz, is when Chair came on, he looked more up for it. So I think, you know, Bright being dropped for a few games, or for you know, quite a few games. He's been looking like he's won his place back, but you know, when Chair came on, he looked like an impact sub again. And
I think one of the strangest things to me was that Pugh has got into the team and then was kind of dropped out of it for Barnsley, and whether it's his legs or whatever, then maybe that's the thing. I said about Chair the other week, I think that he's second season syndrome a little bit with Eze, where they've gone away to League Two, they've ripped it up, they've scored loads of goals, and they found it a lot harder in the Championship. But Chair looked very lively. I mean, he hit the bar. Should he have scored? Yeah, maybe. That game just felt like basketball. It felt like we could have gone and got a couple, but we just looked so lightweight at the back. And, I think Leicester has been... I don't know if you discussed Leicester or you are going to discuss him, but, I think that there needs to be a change at centre-half. We just it's just personnel-wise that drag you through that game. We've obviously got the quality to create chances, but I really do think it's the psychology of the team at the moment that's a little bit missing. You're missing them characters, and I sound like a broken record.
No, we've been saying that tonight. We've been talking to Langers about that, and also the fact that, you know, it's changing formation didn't help, and changing back to the formation that we played against Forest didn't help at all. And why change it after three games when it was going so well?
Charlie will know all about Plan Z after our conversation on the last show, but... I think that we need to try and find something that is a little bit more consistent. I wouldn't have changed as much as he did.
He found consistency.
For three games.
He found it and he threw it away.
Yeah, but he's found it through varying up the formation and varying up the team selection. And I just think he was trying to be a little bit too smart against Barnsley and maybe underestimate Barnsley. And I think with all this as well, credit where credit's due, Barnsley never tired. They looked like they were going to press and harry from the start, which they did, and they carried on doing it for the 90 minutes. And if you do that against us, technically they're not good enough players, QPR players at the moment, to deal with that press. So then if teams can maintain that pressure from the off, it's going to cause us problems. And we, you know, it's not Ozzy Ardiles. We're not going to win 6-5 every week, you know. And Warburton said they are scrapping for their lives. They are going to fight for stuff. Yeah, well, we just got found out a little bit on the day.
But we can't win ugly and we can't draw ugly, can we? We just have that, you know, the pitch was sticky. We couldn't play our normal flowing football that Warburton likes to play, and we didn't really have another option. And they were all over us.
We do have an option, though. He can. Look, Hugel is an ugly sort of centre forward who, if you need to play that ugly football way, you can do it. But you've got to adapt and be flexible. And I think you're right. I think he underestimated Barnsley. I thought he thought they were an easy touch. He forgot the fact they had a new manager. He didn't do, I mean, I imagine he probably did do his research, but, you know, it's only a couple of games in, so maybe he'd underestimated how they'd come on in those two games. And I am really interested to see the formation he puts out against another struggling team, albeit we've heard they've got some players back on Saturday. And if he reverts to the 3-5 at the back, I'd be shocked, but maybe I'll be wrong.
Yeah, Gareth, what are you making of the game against Charlton on the weekend? Because like Julian said, they're really struggling with injuries, you know, having to call up all their academy players, youngsters, recalling players on loan who've been playing for Ebbsfleet. Now they're playing in the Championship. You know, is this a game where Charlton are there for the taking?
It's the perfect game to respond to the Barnsley game. We have to remember that we were on a good run. And I think this game, you approach it the same as Preston. You know, you get that diamond, you get Eze back in the middle, and you kind of go for it with that protection in front of that back four. The interesting choice for me, I think it's picked up on a lot of words, is this kind of Wallace and Manning conundrum, because they don't seem to be gelling. And there was a home game, I can't remember which one it was, but that cost us a goal. And I don't think you can fit them into the team. So for me, I'd kind of go back to basics. If Rangel's fit, which I don't think he looks like being, I would get him in at right back. It just gives you a little bit more solidness back there and playing out from the back, and somebody in front of the back four, probably Cameron if he's fit enough and he's got the legs. And I'd go back to exactly that Preston game, because that's what I would do. And I think that will get you the 3 points, and that puts Barnsley into context. We're going to have off days, the inconsistencies there, and that's the reason why, you know, Julian will tell you that if we, your 14th, 12th to 14th is probably where we're going to finish. But it was a difficult watch on Saturday, I must admit, the Barnsley game, especially after absolutely dominating a Birmingham team who were very disappointing. You know, if you looked at it game by game, Birmingham were much the weaker side to Barnsley. But you look at the league, obviously, we were level on points and exactly the same results as Birmingham. But you don't look at it like that. And I think, you know, we've got to take it game by game with this team at the moment. You can't look any further than the next game, which is Charlton, which I think there's a perfect opposition for a reaction. But we know about Charity Park Rangers, and they'll be looking at us and they'll be thinking, you know, we'll go and get a result. But they have to respond to that game, and they have to try and get another clean sheet or not concede more than one at least.
And I think you're right about bringing back Rangel. I mean, Kane had a decent game against Birmingham, but he's been our biggest disappointment of all the signings.
What about Furlong, though, Gaz? You weren't too worried when he left. Would you have him back?
No, listen. It's about the business of the football club, I think. And Furlong was good business. It is. And I think Furlong, and he's not getting in West Brom's team, so don't, like, he's not ripping up any trees there.
He played well against us.
He's getting in their team enough.
He's on the subs, but he's getting kept out by Gibbs and Ferguson. So, yes, he'd love him at QPR. Of course I'd love him. He came through the system. He's one of the genuines that came in at 9. He's the son of Paul Furlong. Of course I'd love him there. But financially, to get 1.52 million for him, get Kane in, who was offered a new contract at Chelsea, you'd think it would be a bit of a no-brainer from a business perspective.
He's just one that hasn't worked out, hasn't he? I mean, Warburton made 14 signings. I guess about 10 or 11 have worked out pretty well.
He's played half their games, by the way. 10 games.
Furlong?
Yeah, 10 games.
Yeah, half. Have a scrap, it's Christmas.
There you go. But I think, I agree, Gav. I think that Kane has been disappointed. He's been great getting behind the other fullback and getting crosses in, but you have to do the dirty football. You have to work the hard yards. You have to defend first and foremost. And Rangel was just that solid option, even at 36, to be solid, get it, give it, and unlock the lights of Bright, you know, and get forward. And I always think you play in two halves. You've got that back five of the back four and Cameron, and then you get, all you do is defend solid, get it into the other half, and then let the fair players play. Easy Chair, Bright, Hugo and Wells are going to finish them. So it's not rocket science sometimes, especially against Charlton. Don't be too clever. Keep it, go back to basics a little bit and try and get the result. And that's all that matters, is going into a run of very winnable games.
Yeah, going into the run of very winnable games. What is your score prediction then, Gareth?
3-1
to us.
No, come on! Do you even have to ask me that? Come on, Charlie, you know me, brother.
We literally all looked at each other and went to.
What, yeah. You think we're going to let a goal in? You have little faith. Come on, clean sheet, guys.
3-1 QPR. Grant Hall after 12 minutes, SP specific, Bright Samuel after 44, and Hugo after 90 off his elbow. There you go.
Well, there you go. Very specific. Gareth, always a pleasure to speak to you and get you on the show. Thank you for giving us a little bit of time. I know you're extremely, extremely busy. Just you giving us a minute really means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Gareth Dixon there from the Ranger Things podcast on the QPR Fan Show. There is another little bit of housekeeping we have.
There's a little bit of housekeeping. You know, being Christmas and all. I did have Gaz in here, but I've got a little present for Gav here. His favorite.
Brilliant. Yes. You've got a present, Gaz.
A little
straight
Christmas present
Amazon
for him.
Warehouse.
This is great for radio. Yeah. No one knows.
Here it is. You can't see it, but you can imagine the little stars. His favourite player of all time.
Tony
I bought
Scully.
Him. It's... Who's that? Come on. Sean Wright Phillips. Sabutio. Little
it's literally
star,
a Sabutio of Sabutio. That was his name, by the way.
£13.5 million for one goal
thanks,
is what
man.
We bought.
How much was this? 13.5 pence.
What a present.
But you know,
is.
But you know, Charlie, I got one for you as well.
No, you didn't.
He tried to give this to his kids about 5 years ago for Christmas.
For you.
They didn't even
your
know.
Your future manager. Future manager. Can you see
oh,
who
no.
this is?
I know who it is.
Harry Redknapp.
That's terrific, that is.
A little Harry Redknapp, future Arsenal manager.
They're still worth something if you don't open them.
Yeah.
I love mine. Thank you, Julian.
Yeah, they didn't have Mikel Arteta.
I'll swap you, mate. Sabutio for Harry.
No, I can stay with
he's
Red.
Future... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's happy Red that. That'll be it. Arsenal next season.
Arsenal next season. Unbelievable. And there is some housekeeping. Julian, thank you for that,
that's
Gav.
Right.
Thanks, you're not as pleased with yours. Yeah, but there is some QPR news as we enter the show.
Oh, which bit do you want to...
Yeah, which
Gav's lost. Sean Wright Phillips is
would you like
in
to buy him for $6 million? So keep your eye on you. So Kelly's back in training.
Yep.
I think Lumley should keep his place.
I do. Yes. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
We have to reel through this. Kane. Okay, we've gone through that. Jim Smith.
We should do a bit better tribute because last week Gareth
Gaz was only
too young,
4 months old when he was when he was manager.
Milk Cup final. You were 8. I was a bit older.
You were a bit older. You should do this tribute.
Well, I was very miserable that day. It was one of the...
That day? You've been miserable for most of your life.
But yeah. I thought in those days we were going to be in a cup final pretty much every 4 or 5 years. Little did I know that we're not going to be...
That's the first time you got brought back down to earth.
That's when he started buying these.
It's been downhill ever since you were...
We've been in one in 90, you know, I guess Spurs in the early 80s. And then I thought, another one. Here they're going to come along like buses. We haven't been there since.
And then we're going to look at... we're apparently looking at one attacking midfield striker called...
Transfer first,
Dykes,
gossip.
Lyndon Dykes from Livingston. Apparently he's the only player that's come up that we're potentially in the market for in the close season.
In January.
No, there's also the defender at Ipswich that we're supposed to be...
You've been linked with him for ages.
Yeah. But Lambert's come out and said...
No chance.
Yeah. Well, they're top of the... Well, they're not actually.
They've had a little... Wickham. They're suffering a little bit, yeah. A little bit of a blip, Julian.
Yeah. So, and then we're going to do predictions for
gosh, you're trying to finish the show really quick.
He's trying to send us... All right, what do you want to do predictions?
Well, I thought we could all sing Christmas carols.
Okay, that's coming. What prediction do you want to do for what game?
So for Charlton. So
you've done them. You said 3-1 and Julian's...
2-1. I know, we've done Charlton. No, sorry. No, not Charlton, because we've got three more games before we actually...
We have 40 seconds, so hit us, Gavin.
40 seconds. Okay, so Reading away.
I'm going to go for 1-0.
QPR, don't draw. Okay,
that's it. And then we've got a home against Hull, right? And I think we're going to get turned over 2-1 there.
No, you're going to beat Hull.
Yeah,
yeah. You're going to beat him.
Jared Bowen hopefully will have gone by then because
he's staying. I think he's staying.
Gav. Yeah, so it looks like potentially on paper it looks like a decent run of games, but Swansea at home. Swansea away. So we're going to Swansea home in the cup. I think we're going to sneak that 2-1.
Yeah, FA Cup obviously. And it starts with Charlton this weekend. That run of winnable games. Well, this has been the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. We do wish you a Merry Christmas from the Ranger Things podcast. Gavin Lawson, Julian Monahan, and Gareth Dixon. We will see you in the new year.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.